Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
In my 27 years as a Victorian policewoman, I investigated everything from a stolen bicycle to a stolen life. Policing taught me a lot about human nature, which I explore in my podcasts with a variety of fascinating guests discussing the human side and impact of crime, not only on their lives, but mine as well. My podcasts are not suitable for children and some adults for that matter. If you find yourself affected by my subject matter, please contact Lifeline or any other support service or person that you feel comfortable with. My guests provide their recollection of an event or incident, sharing their thoughts and their emotions, but it's theirs and not everyone will agree with them. I understand that and I hope you do too. Thank you.
Even in jail, 3 meals a day, shelter, I had my own room. I was probably living a better life than 90% of the population of the world. And that's what I kept reminding myself. I kept looking at the positives. I kept being grateful for what I did have and tried to be a decent bloke for the first time in my life. I'm caring about other people.
In his own words, Stu Holmes had a blessed childhood. He had loving, supportive parents, a comfortable home with pretty much everything a young boy could want. He had two sisters he adored and an education many would just dream of. But it wasn't enough. Stu had never had to work too hard because much seemed to just fall into his lap. He had a natural ability in sport, academics, and the gift of the gab, which I'm sure you'll note as we continue. He was popular at school, rising to the top in both sport and studies, and he was tall and athletic. Everything came easy, and he learnt from a young age how to avoid responsibility. His father was the principal of one of Melbourne's most prestigious schools, so he felt untouchable. And I think he was pretty much untouchable, but he found drinking around 16 years of age, and everything else took place in line. After floating through his 20s, doing all sorts of different jobs, including a backpacker party host in Cairns and a tarot card reader in Byron Bay, as you do, he found recruitment was his thing. He began a recruitment company with a mate, and it was almost too successful, winning many awards and accolades. Stu seemed to have the magic touch in many ways. He could just always get away with about anything, including close calls with the law, but he was always a step ahead. But often, as we know, partying long and hard leads to unsavoury places, situations and people. People who just want to know you or be seen with you because of who you are and what you can give them, not what you are. Relationships come and go and people get hurt. And you know what? Stu was no different. His life centred around drinking, partying and drug taking. It was never going to end well. Stu eventually found himself in a very dark and lonely place where he believed ending his life was the only answer. He'd lost his wife, his children, his friends, his reputation, his career and everything else he had. And in his mind, his life was worthless. His behaviour became so erratic he held up a post office with a knife, which led to a term of imprisonment for armed robbery. And that's where everything changed. prison gave Stu an opportunity to dry out, to think about what a mess he'd made of his life. And this was his chance at redemption and trying to make up a little of that mess. After his release, he founded a recruitment agency called the Green Collar Brigade. Isn't that brilliant? Which in conjunction with Wise Employment Group helps those coming out of prison find meaningful employment and believes everyone deserves a second chance. And I don't know about you, but I can't argue with that. So thanks for your time today, Stu. That's quite a life you've already lived.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate you inviting me to do this, Narelle. And, floating through my 20s, I'm not sure I'd quite put it like that. I think it was I kind of hacked and smashed my way through my 20s. With all that it entails, and whilst other friends and colleagues were collecting good careers and moving forward and putting house down payments on, I was just fooling around, and that's kind of how it was for me. Thanks for the intro. The Green Collar Brigade is actually a non-profit group that I started, and it started because when I was in jail, I didn't want to sweep the floors or work in the kitchen or do woodwork or anything like that. I really wasn't very good with working with my hands, and I didn't want to be picking up rubbish or anything like that. So I put it to the wardens that I would actually help people in jail with their resumes, with interview skills, and just talk with them about how they could get work post-jail. And I was in conversations with a couple of TAFEs. And so that's where the Green Collar name started. And it was Green Collar because, of course, we know white collar is for corporates and professionals. Blue collar, of course, more trade and working class. And green is the colour we wear in jail. And it also represents rejuvenation and recycle and a new lease on life. So that's where the term Green Collar came from. And the Green Collar Brigade is a volunteer group where the Green Collar is integrated with Wise Employment, and it's a program called Wise Up, and it's for anyone coming out of jail or who've had trouble with the criminal justice system. And we help them with a range of things from mental health to assistance with housing in some instances, a feeling of purposefulness, and ultimately work. But it's about connecting. Often when we get out of jail, there's that feeling of disconnection, and it's only maybe a family and a few close friends who want to be around us. And the Green Collar creates, along with Wise Employment, that tribal unity of people who are trying to better themselves and make a difference. And, yeah, it's been working really well.
Mm. Oh, it's just such a great initiative, Stu. It, as I've said many times in my podcast, it just gives people who have been in jail, I cannot imagine the difficulties and the struggles when you come out, when you're released. And so your Green Collar Brigade is just such a wonderful opportunity for people who realise, a bit like you, that, you know, I've stuffed up and I need to, redeem myself in a way. Hey, Stu, how long was it? And we'll get to why you're in jail and all that at some point, but how long were you in jail before you started thinking of the future of this Green Collar Brigade? Because you must have been at pretty much, you were on remand, that's right.
That's
but
right.
You must have been at the lowest you had ever been when you got sentenced.
Yeah, look, when I was sentenced, was the day I came out because I was on remand for 9 months. And so I didn't know what the future held. I was expecting potentially to be in for 2 or 3 years. And I'll get to some of the reasons why that wasn't the case as we go on with the podcast. But when I first got to jail, I was mad. I was mad as a cut snake. And it probably took me a week to really realize where I was, what had happened, and started to clean up and sober up and just go, what the hell am I doing here? And that led to, I tried to kill myself. And my cellmate was a debt collector for the Bandidos, and he actually called the screws and got help for me, and I was sent into a psych ward. And I think that's really where, not a psych ward, it was a solitary under supervision and in the slot. So that's when I really went, okay, I'm going to have to either die here or turn things around. And it really was an ethereal moment where I've just thought, well, I've got two boys. I need to have this book finished differently. I can't have this be the last chapter. And with a bit of sobriety and a bit of, crap out of my system, I was able to make the steps and change my mindset in a way that was able to start creating a future that was the vision that I had.
You know, just when you say then about, I was saying it doesn't get, or I'm thinking it doesn't get much worse than going to jail, but then it does, because you just said then that you were put in solitary confinement due to your mental state. Like, that is low. I just can't think of how much lower you could go.
Yeah, I mean, I was in a straitjacket. And, look, interestingly, the support that I got from the medical staff at Fulham Jail was really caring, and I can't put it any other way. I was, I called my partner, or they called my partner and put me on the phone, and my partner said, "You've got a lot to live for." And they were really, one woman in particular, she was, she had that Mother Teresa style about her, and she just really, she was checking up on me all the time, and I didn't care that I was in solitary, in that situation, because I didn't want to be part of the prison, and I just really needed to deal with what was going on inside my brain. And I screamed out for God, and not in a religious sense, but just I screamed out to the universe, really. And there was some things that happened from that moment, besides one of the other guys in the slot yelling "Shut the F up." there was a few internal recalibrations that happened from that moment, which put my journey into some sort of perspective, and that's when it began, after about the first week and a half of being in jail.
Because I've got to say, you do hear, or I hear, so many negative stories about doing time, being in jail. It's actually really, it's very reassuring, but it's great to hear a positive story about jail and the fact that you had people that really cared about you, whether it be your cellmate or the staff. I just think, gee, that's, it's a good outcome, which I didn't think there was all that many from being in jail, but good on you.
The hardest thing for me was the doubt that was hanging over with regards to how long I was going to be in there. If I had have known when I first went in that it was going to be 9 months or 3 months or 15 months, then I think that would have been much easier and much more palatable. Like, jail in itself wasn't hard. I learned pretty quickly how to toe the line. I'm not someone that typically gets bullied on. In fact, what I thought when I first got there is I watched too many films, and I thought, I need to stamp my authority here, and I need to show that I'm not someone who can be pushed around. And so one of these guys in the line, lining up for food, made a comment, and I've grabbed a knife, and I've started moving towards him with this knife, and within a second I realized the knife was actually attached by a chain, and it was only sort of about a meter that I could move, and he started bursting into laughter, and he became quite a good friend after that. But moments like that, people in jail weren't all rotten monsters or horrible people, and I found it quite easy to make some friends, and that sort of collective community where we're all in the same boat, there's a sense of, there's a prison camaraderie. There's, as long as you don't stuff with someone else or pinch other people's shit, then you'll do okay. As long as they don't suspect that you're, I mean, initially people were like, what's this guy in for? He's 48 years old and he doesn't exactly look like a typical criminal. So there were some question marks over what my offences might be, but I was able to clear that up pretty quickly. And yeah, no, it was parts of it were tough, but yeah, you're right. The ability to turn my life around, I don't think jail per se was what contributed to my rehabilitation. I think it was just the mindset. This is rock bottom. This is it. This is the bottom of the line. I'm turning it around.
Wouldn't you say that it was the catalyst, though, Stu, for you turning around? Because if you hadn't gone to jail, who knows where your life would have gone? Because you were prior, and correct me if I'm wrong, but prior to going in, you were just, you know, the world is, pardon me, fucked. I can't be part of this anymore.
Yeah. Oh, look, yeah, absolutely, 100%. I mean, it took the bars of jail to separate me from drugs and alcohol. The week before jail, I was in Monash Emergency after an overdose attempted. I tried to kill myself. And it looked like that was something that I'd been doing over the previous few months on several occasions. So, yeah, absolutely, by going in, by being behind bars and having to clean up my act just through force. I mean, you could get drugs in prison, but it was hard to get, and it's not exactly what you want to be doing, sitting in your cell as high as a kite, not able to sleep. It's not exactly party time. So it wasn't something that I was chasing while I was in there, and it wasn't that easy to get anyway. So, yeah, it was a good chance just to reflect and say, okay, well, this, I can't believe this is where my life's ended up. It forced that mindset change.
It must be a huge hurdle to overcome with the Green Collar Brigade, you helping people that have just been released. I'm imagining from the perspective of a prospective employer to take a chance and employ someone with a criminal record, how do you overcome that? How do you get around that mindset?
And this is something that we teach through Wise Up, and Wise Up is the name of the program which I now run. It was the Green Collar Program, and Wise Employment have brought it in-house. So Green Collar Brigade operates separately, and that's the volunteering side of things. But what we talk about and what the main message is, only 10% of employers actually do a criminal background check. Whilst it might be important to at some stage reveal some of your history, or it might come up, and we encourage it to come up in some manner, because nothing worse than starting a job 2 months later, they find out that you've been in jail. But it's progressive revelation. It's not the sort of thing you talk about on the first interview, or you don't bang it on your resume and say, you know, 3 years in jail. And it's what's happened since jail. And so a lot of the time, so firstly, jail is a place where people get clean. Jail is a place where people serve their time. And so some of it's about re-education of employers. But if you're fair dinkum and say, well, I did the crime, I've served my time to commute to the community, and I'm a different guy now, I haven't taken drugs or had a drink for however long. Australia is a pretty forgiving country. You know, we're a country that has been the First Nations were here were the first people, but then the next lot who came were convicts, and we've had Ned Kelly and Chopper Reid, and so we sort of have a history of forgiveness and giving people a second, third, fourth, fifth chance. A criminal record isn't quite as much of a barrier as what's perhaps going on inside the mind of the person with the criminal record, and that's really where most of the work needs to be done.
I don't know how.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
If I employed someone, and I am with you, Stu, I believe everybody deserves, most people, 99% of this world, deserve a second chance, absolutely. But I think the only issue I have is that when do you actually tell your employer, like, I suppose honesty is the best policy, but I imagine the minute you tell somebody that you've done 3 years for armed robbery, that would be a big hurdle for any employer to get over. But yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Because you want to be honest, but if you are totally honest, I don't think there's many people that would take on somebody that said that.
No, it's choosing your moment, and so much of it is timing. I mean, so yes, I wouldn't be applying for a job at Australia Post. I certainly wouldn't be looking to get into a financial institution or even perhaps a large corporation.
Or perhaps a policeman.
That's been stricken off my list. And I wanted to be a lawyer for most of my when I was younger, and I can't be a lawyer either. So, look, there are doors that close, but I think if we focus on what we can't do, then we're not looking at the positives and looking at what we can do. And I had a pathway, and I had a strategy, and I had a vision when I came out, and I knew it was going to take some time for the world and society to forgive me, and I knew it was going to be a slow ride back. But it was within less than 3 years of exiting jail that I was approached by Wise Employment, and they said I was working in a rehab at the time, and I was helping people who had been released on bail to the rehab. And my experiences having been in jail was something that helped me identify with these people. So,
I bet it did.
Yeah, so it changed the trajectory of what options I had in terms of employment. But, you know, coming from a recruitment background, I always believe that it's the last few steps that you've taken which define the next few steps that you need to take. And I was very much of that opinion that, okay, well, my future will actually lie in helping people with a criminal record, because lived experience is something that is further up on the prerequisite list for these sorts of the sort of work I do than any sort of degree or any sort of tertiary education. It's people can identify with me. People can understand. I've been there. I've done that, and I've lived that life. And therefore, it breaks down that barrier that can exist much quicker than perhaps if someone else was doing it.
You know, and if there was a barrier let's say an employer, I would imagine because of your lived experience, you would be a great advocate to show that you can do 3 years for armed rob and you can make, a good life again. You can you can be successful just because you have done time. I mean, it sounds terrible, doesn't it, as in 3 years for armed rob. But if you're an advocate for somebody that was coming out of jail, I think people would look at you and say, you know what, It's not a barrier at all. If Stu can do it, so can the people that he's advocating for.
Yeah, that's well said. I went for a job 2 months ago. So while I was waiting for Wise Employment, being a large government organisation as part of Workforce Australia, there was a lot of checks and balances that needed to be undergone before they could bring me on with the program. So previously it was just as an external contractor. Now WiseUp has the actual program. And so that was going on. It was dragging its heels, and I thought, look, I'm going to see if I can get another job. And I did that for two reasons. One was I just was interested to see if I could, and I like a challenge. And the other one was I wanted to put a bit of pressure on Wise. Coming from the recruitment world, there's nothing more appealing to an employer than somebody who's hard to get already has another job offer. So I went for a job as a manager of a recruitment firm, and within 20 minutes I told them I'd been in jail for armed robbery, and they still offered me the job. So I think, you know, but that's because some time had passed, Narelle. It's because I'm clean and sober. I'd got my boys back into my life, and the externals were mirroring the internal, and my honesty just came through. So, look, it's different for everybody, but that was my story. But certainly day one out of jail, hey, I've reformed, you know, give me a job. You know, that's not necessarily the way it's going to go. And we get that. And sometimes there is a bit of a journey and a bit of time that needs to pass before we can get our dream job again.
Being in prison, it affects your life, obviously. But we were talking just before we went to air. I love saying that, before we went to air. we were talking, and you wanted to go overseas at one point. You've been thinking about going, but will you never be able to go overseas? And I suppose what I'm asking is, how does it affect your life in what you want to do, apart from obviously what we've been talking about with employment? Like travel and finding a home, all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, it does, and it depends on the offence that you've committed. I was recently approached to be considered for a board member for an organisation, and I was unable to because I can't become a company director for 5 years. With regards to travel, it's different for every country, and I could possibly just try to go to Bali, but I think if they dug into my record or if they dug deep, they perhaps would say this person has been in jail. I don't know if Bali is 5 years, 10 years. I suspect it's life. I'm pretty sure America's life, unless you get some sort of categorical exemption. And so, yeah, it would be difficult to go to some places. And again, though, it's about – and a lot of people who come in and we work with are like, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, I've lost my kids, I haven't got a house, and, you know, it's all doom and gloom. And sometimes we need to look at life from a telescope as opposed to the microscope and go, well, this is what I don't have, what do I have? And even in jail, I think when we were saying this off air beforehand, even in jail, three meals a day, shelter, I had my own room after the first couple of months, I was probably living a better life than 90% of the population of the world. And that's what I kept reminding myself. I kept looking at the positives. I kept being grateful for what I did have and tried to be a decent bloke for the first time in my life, caring about other people. And, yeah, there's barriers. There's no question about that. But if we're looking at the barriers and saying, I don't trust anyone because everyone screwed me over and life's just not fair and I'm a victim of this and that, I think with that approach, it's very difficult to start seeing change. And I know it's easier said than done, but over the 28 days that we work with Wise Employment and run these programs, we shift mindsets where we're all part of this group. We all get it. We've all had shit come our way, and most of it was probably because we made mistakes ourselves. And it's owning that and then saying, but it doesn't have to be that way forever. There's a lot of people who will give you a chance. So it's changing on a world scale. The United Nations have now included people with a criminal record as a diverse group. And by 2025, there's a range of laws coming into all the United Nations countries, which Australia is one of them, which is to not discriminate against people with a diverse background. So I think we're changing. It's one of the last frontiers because it's a diversity that I guess has happened because of the behaviour we've participated in, as opposed to just the way we were born. But people change, redemption is something that, as we get older, we decide that we want a different life for ourselves and for the people who we love and around us. And that's my experience. And there's barriers everywhere, and we just talk about ways of overcoming those, and I help people overcome those barriers too. I get on the phone, call up certain employers, we find people who will take them. Again, it depends on the offence, it depends on how long ago, and it depends on the sort of work they're looking for. But there's hope, there really is, and it's about survival to begin with, and housing. And our next meal is the most important thing. Once we can satisfy that, we can start looking at the other things.
Gee, I tell you what, Stu, I'd love to have you in my corner if I was just released from jail. So can we go on to your blessed life? You were saying that, oh, I don't know, your late 20s, early 30s, was it, where you discovered that lethal cocktail of success, alcohol and drugs, and your life started spiralling out of control. I wanted to talk a little bit about your blessed life and how that blessed life affected your relationships, and also about spiralling out of control, say with your parents, your siblings. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, look, I was able to pull it off until I wasn't, and there'd been brushes with the law. I got in trouble in my 20s for some petty sort of fraud stuff, and I was always in trouble with alcohol. I wasn't a terrible drunk, but I was a very vocal and wicked-tongued drunk, where I would say any number of things to any number of people, which upset a bunch of relationships, including my career that stuffed with that. Drugs, look, they've always been thrown in there, I guess, from a recreational or slightly more than recreational. But when I lost access to my children, my partner had had enough, my ex-wife had had enough of my drinking and my promise to go sober and then my inability to do so. And when my marriage ended, that's when things really spiraled. And that was around 10 years ago. And I went into rehabs primarily to try and smooth things over and initially to get my family back on track. When that became clear that it wasn't going to happen, I rebelled against that and started taking more drugs. I just couldn't deal with the pain. And so the blessed life came back on me, and I just hadn't developed emotionally to a level where I had to deal with the grief that perhaps some other people had had in their early life, and where they were more adept to dealing with it and capable of coping with certain things that don't go right. I was just used to having things go right. And so my grief was very significant. And so my drug taking increased, my relationships started to deteriorate. I managed to find a lovely partner who I still have today, who met me, and I was in the middle of this, but she supported me and loved me and has stuck with me, and she's probably the reason I'm alive today. She never abandoned me, and I think underneath it all, she knew I was a decent guy who was just making some pretty bad decisions. And my family stuck by me too, my mum and my two sisters. I wasn't particularly happy with the way the relationship was. I when my dad died sort of just over 10 years ago, I probably took on the role of the man of the family, but it just wasn't something that I was able to maintain because I was drinking a lot and I was starting to slide into that world of drugs and misbehavior to a higher degree. So relationships deteriorated, they fractured, but ultimately, you know, people did stick by me, and I was really lucky that doesn't happen for everyone.
Gee, you're right, Stu. I'm just wondering there about how your mum and your siblings, who you're obviously very close to, how they dealt with your deterioration and ultimately you being remanded in prison. Do you know how they dealt with that, or have you spoken about that?
I struggle to face that.
Bet you do, yeah.
And recently my mum wrote, she's actually part of a group of parents who've got kids in jail, and she's stayed connected to that group because she wants to help people. She's a beautiful Christian woman, and so she stayed as part of that. And she said to me about a month and a half ago, I want to write a story about how it affected us, you going to jail. And I said, I can't read it, Mum. I'm still only managing to deal with the remorse and shame that I feel, and I'm probably not ready to have to face all of the pain and the torment that you've had to go through. I get it, but I don't want to be reminded of it. And sometimes, particularly with grief, it's important to deal with it at times that you're able to do that emotionally. And I still see a psychologist today, and it's maybe something for tomorrow, maybe something for a few weeks after, but they're just all absolutely wrapped that I'm doing what I'm doing and I've turned things around. And yeah, I'll unwrap some of that pain and some of that that torment when I'm able to and perhaps deal with it at that stage.
But, you know, Stu, it might be that you never are able to read that book or talk to your mum, but I think you know, sometimes things are so painful you just can't go back there, particularly what you must have, I do apologise, but what you must have put your parents through, or particularly your mum, because she's been there when you went inside. You know, sometimes things are, you know, too painful and they just have to pass and think, I can't deal with it. You know, I don't think that's any, and I know you're not ashamed of it, I'm just saying that's sometimes how it is. During that party lifestyle that you had, that phase, did you ever think at any point that you needed to stop or take some sort of control? Were you capable of thinking that? Next week, I talked to Stu about the effect not being able to see his kids had on him, and more about his difficulties in dealing with what he'd put his family through, and how even to this day, he hasn't really spoken much to his mum about what happened because of the guilt that he carries, really, with what he's put her through and his family. He also talks about the article in a paper which really turned his life around, but at the time, the humiliation that it caused. And of course, more about his brilliant concept in helping those in prison upon release getting employment. I just find Stu's attitude so captivating, but also really inspiring. Anyway, have a great week and we'll talk next week. As you've probably noticed, we've moved to a new platform called Acast. I think that's the right expression, I've got no idea. And my previous reviews haven't transferred over. I need reviews. Could you do me a favour and put up a review? And thank you so much for your support and patronage. With your help, I can give you that little bit extra. Thanks.
Thanks. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.